Amen.
On a hill called Calvary, Jesus my Lord suffered for me, carried the cross all the way, my sins to atone. Then they nailed him to the cross, great was the pain and the loss, he suffered it all. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise the dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me. From the dead, because he loved me,
because he loved me,
because he loved me, our Savior died on the cross, was crucified. No greater love a mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise the dear name, he loved me. Suffered it all because he loved me.
Oh, praise his
dear name, he loved me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all because he loved me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank God. That's good news, ain't it? Somebody will stand up and bag on the Lord right quick.
Praise Amen. God, I'm already right here, and I got to say something.
Amen, brother.
I thank Woo! God for what God's done for me. And
come on.
Life. Preaching back there this morning, there's about 15 young ones got saved.
Let her rip.
I thank God.
It'll be saved, ready, people. Hallelujah.
Bless my home. He's good for me. He saved me. I've been saved 38 years. I thank God for them days. I'm glad I had a mom and a daddy.
Come on.
That took me to church, sitting me on a pew, heard
preaching. Go ahead.
Thank God for what God
preach,
saved.
Brother.
Saved my life. He saved my soul.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was to go through drugs and alcohol.
Good,
I'm glad that I had a mom and daddy that brought me to church and I heard old time preaching, and that's what got me in. I thank God for that. I praise his name. He's good to me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Like that fellow said, he had a drug problem. He said, all my life I had a drug problem. Mama drugged me to Sunday school, drugged me to preaching, drugged me to woodshed, drugged me everywhere I need to be. Anybody else right quick? Won't brag on the Lord.
I do.
Go ahead, Brother Junior.
Hey, God loves me.
Amen, brother.
Hey, God done something this way.
Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's all right. Anybody else? That's all right. Go ahead. Anybody else? It's like popcorn. That's what testimony are. Pop, pop, pow, pow, pow. Pops up all over the place. That's right. That's right. Amen. I've heard people get up in testimony, and by the time they got through, everybody wanted to go commit suicide. Let's talk about how you don't. It ain't testimony. It's time to get up and air out your dirty laundry. One fellow stood up and told about all the bad things he's done, and he went home and his wife left him. That ain't testimony. Testimony is telling what the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right, let's take our Bible. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 tonight. I'm going to look at a verse of scripture here this evening and bring you the message that I almost thought about doing this morning on the subject, brace yourself. Brace yourself. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at a verse here tonight. The Bible talks about in 2 Timothy 3 a description of the days that you and I are living in. No doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. If this isn't the last days, I sure wouldn't want to see them. And he talks about perilous times in verse 1. And then he gives about 18 or 20 descriptive phrases or words that describe the last days. And it starts off in verse 2 and says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And all of that other stuff follows. All of this other stuff follows when men are lovers of their own selves. Selfishness is a cause of 90% of our sin in this country tonight. And they're boasters, proud, and all that. And all of those things down through there. But then he said, when they do all this, verse 9, they shall proceed no further. There's where you know we're in the last days. That's as far as it's going. They shall proceed no further. Their folly be made manifest. And then he starts talking about people that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, I keep trying to tell people that these churches and preachers that are trying to hobnob with the world and get along with the world and be popular with the world, it'll never work. We're not supposed to try to make enemies, but you will never be able to walk arm in arm with this world. And serve the Lord, it's impossible. Now, just add for a minute, Brother Mike. And tonight he said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Every man of God that I know of, or woman of God, or somebody that really loves the Lord, is catching it. They're getting persecuted. Now, everybody. Anybody trying to live right is persecuted nowadays. And he said that would happen. Now, are we going to have a great revival in this world? Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. There's the forecast. This thing ain't going to get better. It's going to get worse. People say, well, I don't want to come to church and just hear old prophet. What do you want me to do? Lie to you? The handwriting on the wall, brother. The clouds of trouble and judgment are moving on. And they're coming in. The Bible said men shall wax worse and worse. There is no mighty worldwide revival before Jesus comes. I know all those preachers on TV, they got their theology wrong. They have what we call kingdom theology. And that kingdom theology teaches that the church is triumphant and we're going to take back the devil and we're going to walk on the devil and we're going to do this and that and they always say the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just and we're going to possess that money all these rich people got. And they got their doctrine wrong, completely wrong. The forecast is we're going to be persecuted. The church will be hated. They're going to tighten up the noose on our necks. Laws are going to be passed against what me and you are doing here tonight and what we believe if the Lord don't come. And it's just going to squeeze us tighter and tighter until it just squeezes right out. The Lord's going to get us out of here. Now, tonight, I want to preach on the subject, brace yourself. When you go get on some of them big roller coasters, you get in there and you get strapped down and they put you on there, I always do this every time I get on one of them things. I get on and I think, why did I do this? Well, this will be the one time that it breaks. Don't sling me over here in the woods somewhere or out in the highway. And I say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. I do that. I'm a big chicken. I get on one of them things and I'll ride them. I'll ride anywhere. I don't care how high it goes, how fast it goes. As long as it don't spin around and around, I'll ride it. And well, I'll sit down on them things, and you know, when that thing starts taking off, you say, oh boy, here we go. And it always goes, tick, 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 tick. Click. That's the hardest part right there. When you're going, them clicks, it's click. You're going straight up. And you know what's fixing to happen, brother. When you cross the hill, son, your stomach's left up yonder somewhere. And down you go, brother. I mean, they're slinging people's breakfast out across them parking lots a lot of time. But anyway, you go click, 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 click. Click, and I grab on for dear life. You know what? I know some hard times and hills and curves are coming. I brace myself. I do that with the youth rally. The youth rally's like that. When I know it's time for the youth rally, I start getting my in January, February. By February, I'm already tightening up tight. And I do this and I do that. I mark on my calendar. Commercials be made by. Flyers be made by. This be made by. Decisions made by. Find out this. Find out that. And because if you don't, it's impossible to get all that done. The youth rally is like, look like 20 Christmas plays and 5 weddings put together. And you have to do every one of them and make it up as you go. So anyway, I brace myself. I brace myself. Now, all of us know that we just had a major election in our country this week. And the world was watching. And the world was watching to see what America was going to do in our election. I'm not here to preach good or bad about that tonight. There's nothing we can do about it now. Might as well just make the best out of what we got and serve the Lord and do right. Amen? We respect our officials, respect our president, honor him as our president, and pray that God will give him enough sense to do what's right. I will say this, one word. I will say this. There's a lot of people, a lot of Christians saying, how in the world did that happen? They're saying we got so many churches and Christians, and how in the world did that election go the way it was elected? And it's very simple. I told you before it happened. I told you, and some of you didn't listen to me. I told you, this president got elected by the media. You had one network trying to push one way, and all 10 of the others pushing the other way. It's like playing a ball game when the referees are on the other man's side. It's impossible to win like that. And it's there was you can look at the demographics on the map and tell how our president was voted in. That's neither here nor there. But you had groups there. The group was, ask not what I can do for my country, but what will my government do for me? And a lot of them were like that. And then the subject of gay marriage, and then the subject of abortion. Those three things put us in trouble in this country. But tonight, all I can say is, brace yourself. I'm not a prophet and I'm not a politician. Thank God. I'm glad I'm not. But I'm not stupid either. I'm a preacher. And I study the Bible and I look and I keep my eyes open and I listen to both sides for the election. I told people I was going to go. People didn't believe me because I listened to both sides. You could see it happening. And I'm a preacher and I'm going to tell you tonight, brace yourself. They're talking about the physical cliff that we're going off of January the 1st. You heard about that? January the 1st, with our taxes increasing and a bunch of stuff like that. What are we going to do about it? I want to say this. I heard an interview a few weeks ago, and they were just dogging out Billy Graham. I mean, because Billy Graham made a commercial, and he said, vote for people who are pro-life and for traditional family. Every Christian ought to believe that. Amen. Al Sharpton ought to believe that if he's a Christian. Amen. That's right. Bill O'Reilly ought to believe that if he's a Christian. Everybody who's a Christian ought to be pro-life and pro-marriage and the family. Am I right? Shouldn't be any argument about that. And you know what they said? They said, Billy Graham's senile. Billy Graham's dead. Billy Graham, and they were throwing off on him, saying, and his ultra-conservative son, Franklin. And they were just talking about Franklin Graham like he's a dog. And it's just giving him down the road. And while all this was going on, do you know what Franklin Graham was doing? Franklin Graham's ministry, the Samaritan's Purse, they have these big, humongous trucks, tractor and trailer trucks, long as this auditorium here tonight, tractor and trailer. And they were taking aid and relief to those people up there in that storm. Yeah. And there, I heard Franklin Graham talking about it. And brother, they assembled teams from all over the area from churches. And church people came together. They helped sweep the mud out of people's houses. They brought groceries and set it down on the table. They come in there and had prayer with them people. They got them heaters and generators. They got them clothes. Are you listening to me? Franklin Graham's group did this. Some of that other crowd that gets on there and just runs their mouth about issues did nothing. The Christian people from the churches were out there putting generators, getting power restored, and then they'd get the family together and have prayer with them and give them the gospel and present them with the Bible. And the news never said one word about it. Now you think about that now. Where's the news media? Where are they? How come the cameras wasn't out there saying these people from churches? I thought, now, they believe in separation of church and state till it comes from something like that. Then they want the church to come in and fix a mess and clean everything and help everybody out. I thought they believed in separation of church and state. They don't want our vote, but they want our money and our help. They don't want our opinion, but they appreciate churches helping when something goes wrong. But anyway, I thought, where's the news media? Why isn't the news media on there? Listen to me right. I'm fixing to tell y'all something. Why isn't the news media? It's news filming them Christians, carrying them groceries, setting them down on the table. I'll tell you why. Because if they do, it'll put Christians in a good light, and they ain't going to do it. They ain't going to do it. They will not do it. The mainstream news media, for the most part, is controlled by the devil. Amen. Amen. I didn't say every individual was of the devil. I didn't say they're all lost going to hell. I said for the most part. It's amazing how people, when you say something, they take it out of context. I said for the most part. And because of that, when something goes wrong in churches, they'll blast it all over the country. But when God's people do something good, it's never mentioned. So it plants in the minds of the average person that all Christians are fakes and preachers are hypocrites and have no confidence in God's word. That's what's going on. With that in mind, I just want to say a couple things here tonight. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I'm not a prophet, and I hope that I'm wrong on this. But I believe. You think gas prices are high now? You wait till next spring. Right around Memorial Day next year. I'm not gonna prophesy, because I ain't saying the Lord told me this. But I remember standing over there in the old building a few years ago, and I said gas is going to $3 a gallon, and I seen people in the congregation shaking their head. Nah, it ain't going to happen. I wish it would go back to $3. Don't you? That'd be cheap now. You know what we're looking at next summer? $4.50 and maybe $5 by next summer. And I hope and pray I'm wrong. Because we're going to run them buses and diesel will be $5. I hope I'm wrong. Please pray that I'm wrong. I don't mind a bit being wrong. I hope I am. But that's, you might as well brace yourself. Hey, you say, well, Brother Danny, what in the world are we going to do? Well, you know, you got to make adjustments. You might have to carpool. You might have to ride with somebody. Some of the family ride together. Instead of, you know, there's 5 people in one family and they bring 4 cars to church. That's the way we've been used to all these years. It might be that you have to meet somewhere and ride together. That ain't going to kill us. That's better than laying out and staying home. We may have to hunker down a little bit. We may have to tighten up just a little bit. We may have, one lady told me, she said, I'd come to your church, but it's 20 miles. And she said, gas is $4 a gallon. And I said, well, don't go to steakhouse. I have to just go eat your bologna sandwich. And she said, I'm going to kill my husband. He ain't got my tanning bed hooked up yet. And I've been fussing out of there. There's you some gas money. A few $1,000 up right there. I ain't saying that's wrong to have a tanning bed. I'm just saying, brother, I'd say, I'm telling you tonight, we might have to tighten up just a little bit to keep our priorities right. Amen. I saw on my way here tonight, people, I don't know who it was, out putting up Christmas decorations in their yard. Now, we got this all wrong. Yeah. We think, isn't I a wonderful Christian? I'm out here decorating for Jesus. I'm putting up light. Listen, brother, Jesus wants you to come to church on Sunday night instead of putting up your Christmas decorations. Amen? I don't have a bit of guilt saying that. I know that's right. He never said one thing in that Bible about putting up Christmas decorations. But he did say that we're to meet together and worship and pray and honor him. I don't know what it's going to take for some people to get it through their head. It's important to come to the house of God. It kills me. Listen, I'm shouting tonight. I'm shouting happy. We averaged over 400 during our fall Sunday school campaign during the month of October. I'm shouting about that. We had 350 something here this morning. That's shouting ground. Most churches would shout that. But my heart breaks. My heart breaks when I see empty seats there and there. My heart breaks because I see the devil. Our kids can't get help if we're not here. Our marriages can't get help if we're not here. Our homes can't get help if we're not here. The Lord wants you to put up Christmas decorations in some other time slot. I'll say it, not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday, and some of you will ignore me, but I'll say it every year, and you can just get mad every year. It is not right for you to show how thankful you are to God on Thanksgiving night by staying out of church on Wednesday night and cooking a stupid turkey. That is not being thankful. What if your turkey poisons you? That's awful. Listen, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. You say, well, Brother Danny, the family's coming over. Yeah, they sure are. They're coming in here on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we're to honor Jesus who gave us our turkeys and gave us our land and gave us our jobs. And God, surely you can take an hour out of your busy schedule. That turkey ain't going to rot. Put that thing in the oven. It ain't. Lord have mercy, do like my Aunt Dixie. My Aunt Dixie, you see, they have big families. My Aunt Coney up in West Virginia, and my Aunt Coney, you know what they'd do? My mom said she couldn't believe it. She'd crack a dozen of eggs, 12 of them, put them in a pan, put the lid on, go over here and smoke a cigarette and say, I ain't playing moving with them things. I ain't fooling them things, waiting on them to get done. And that's where that turkey be. You leave that thing in the oven, or you leave it in a crock pot or microwave, or what are you going to do to it, and put that thing in there. It'll be all right when you get home. You ain't thankful. You're not thankful. You're out of church. What are you talking about being thankful? Amen. Lord have mercy, got ahead of myself tonight. Let me say this. There's going to be awful time. There'll be a time coming. Drugs are going to get worse. Everywhere I go, I had some people tell me, some man walked up to me the other night down at that bus conference. The bus conference helped us so much. My, you missed it. You missed a blessing. That bus conference was tremendous. And a man walked up to me and he said, I listened to your sermon on addictions. He said, I ain't never even been on drugs, but that helped me. I said, I appreciate that, brother. I said, give it to people. Make copies of it. Everywhere I go, people walk up to me and say, my mama is a drug addict. My son is a drug addict. My daughter is on pills. Preacher, how are we going to get them off? How are we going to? They're going to change laws. They're going to make laws against what we believe, what we preach. If the Lord don't come in another 10 years, and we don't see a revival in America, a local church revival, they're going to start passing more and more laws against what we call hate speech. And a hate speech is anytime you condemn a lifestyle that they believe is all right and we don't believe it's all right. In other words, the time will come when the Bible will be considered hate literature. It already is in a lot of places. Well, it's condemned homosexuality. I heard one on TV the other day, and he said, nowhere in the Bible, this guy's supposed to be a preacher, he said, nowhere in the Bible is homosexuality condemned. And they said, what are you talking about? He said, well, that's promiscuous homosexuality. Like, in other words, what he was saying was, if you are in a loving, committed monogamous homosexual relationship, there's nothing in the Bible against. That's what they're trying to do, and that's what they're trying to say. And what he's trying to say was, he's trying to say, in that day and time, we must understand that things are different then. And we must understand that as times have changed, values and priorities have changed, and we're, you know, blah, 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 blah. Listen, the day has come. The day may come when it will be a crime to say a word against an alternate lifestyle. What gets condemned by the Bible. And there's no difference in preaching against that. There is adultery or murder lifestyle or a killing lifestyle or a drunkard lifestyle or any other wicked lifestyle. It's all a sin. If you do it, if I do it, it's still a sin. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you better brace yourself because there's no telling what we might be facing here in the next few months and years. What I think you ought to do, here's what I think you ought to do. I think you ought to stick with your family. Amen. Stay close to your family. Yes, sir. So many people tonight are just running off and leaving their family. Yes, wives leaving their husbands. Husbands leaving their wives. I ain't stupid. I've been doing this a long time. 99 times out of 100, when a woman runs off and leaves her husband, she's already got her eye on somebody else. You can mark it down. You can take that to the bank. You can say, whatever you want to say, I know what I'm talking about. 9 times out of 10, a woman don't just leave her husband. If he ain't beating her, if he ain't cheating on her, if he ain't doing something like that, there's another man. And a man don't just leave. A man told me the other day, she sent me text from another state, 800 miles from here. That's all I'll say. 800 miles from here. She said to me, she said, Brother Danny, please pray right now. She said, my husband has been sending texts to another woman at work. And I called him and I told him it's either her or me. And he said, I'm not quitting and I ain't leaving. And she said, it's either her or me. You give her up or you're going to leave me. You live out of my life. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. That guy went on and on. I texted her back and said, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying. She said, please pray, please pray. He said that he would quit. He said they'd quit. It's when they separate, it's already started before they left home. Always. Always. Something there. Stick with your family. Stick with your family. It ain't going to be that long till Jesus comes. Husbands and wives, forgive. Forget. You say, well, I can't live with him. Bring him in there and sit down and with me for about an hour, and he'll be more livable by the time we get through. Sure. Amen. Bring her in there. We'll sit down and talk a little while. We'll tell her what the book says. Amen. I'll talk mean to them. Amen. Hey, listen to me. Stick with your family. You better brace yourself. Hard times are coming. You say, well, everybody else is doing it. I've been thinking about leaving my husband. I've been thinking about leaving my wife. Well, you better not do what everybody else is doing. You better do what God said in the Bible. If you've been through it and having a hard time, I'm not condemning you. I'm not. Every situation's different. I ain't condemning nobody. So quit judging me. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you're willing, if any man or a woman's both willing to do what the Bible says, they can make it. It might not be heaven on earth, but they can make it. And where they won't, where they don't get along, where they won't stay married, one of them ain't willing to do what the Bible says. And they will answer to a holy God for it. They'll answer to God. Stick with your family. Stick with your church. This is my church. I don't. When I say this is my church, I don't mean I own it. It's mine that I belong to. It's your church too. It's your church. You ought to say, this is my church. My church. I'll fight for my church. Listen, we ought to be like a family. We might fuss with each other a little bit, but they better not nobody else say nothing about none of us. Ain't that right? Amen. Amen, brother. That's what it ought to. Now, we bicker with each other sometimes, and I know some of y'all bicker with each other, and you bicker with me and stuff. But when it comes right down to it, I'd fight for any one of y'all, and I hope you'd fight for me and fight for this church. Amen. I'm telling you, God's given us something good here. God's given us a blessing. God's blessed this place. Listen, I seen them buses rolling out of here this morning. They ain't another church in this county that's got buses rolling like this. God's been good to us. What a fight and stick for our church. Fight for your church. Stick up for your church. Stick up for your church. I can give you some more advice. Get some souls saved. That's all we're going to take out of here anyway. Souls. He's talking about them bus kids getting saved. That's all that's going to matter one of these days. I get sick and tired hearing people say, oh, them little old kids. Listen, you're not the judge of that. Every one of them kids that calls on the Lord and means it, gets saved. Every one of them. I ain't naive. I know all of them probably don't get saved. But I tell you, every little boy and girl who says, Jesus, come into my heart, and they mean that, gets saved by the grace of God. According to that book. Suffer the little children and forbid them not, the Lord said to come unto me. You bus workers, you say, Brother Danny, what are we going to do about the economy? Get that bus full of youngins and bring it to church and leave your bills and the gas bill up to Jesus. Let's get them bus kids in here. That's all I know to do is just keep doing what we know to be right. Amen. Keep our hearts clean. Hunker down. You know what you say? Hunker down. Put your toboggan down like this. And brother, just floor it for the glory of God. Get your soul. Get your soul. Have you got your soul lately? I got to lead old Fred to the Lord last night. Man, it put new fire in my bones. I'd been to Gatlinburg. You know how y'all go to Gatlinburg? I'd backslid. Just all you do over there is eat. And eat and eat and eat and more eat. Eat and more eat. And man, I got that call from Barbara. I said, glory to God. Fred's about ready to get saved. I come home. Man, I had on the Carolina camp meeting shirt. I changed my shirt and pushed my hair on my cap and took off down here to Morganton. And I walked in there with my Bible. And I started talking to Fred. Listen, by the time I left, I was about to shout all over the driveway. Listen, brother, the economy might get bad. I don't know. I hope and pray it's good. I hope we have 4 years of great prosperity and we all get rich. I really do. But if it don't, brother, let's just keep bringing souls and souls and more souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of y'all get in the bus ministry. Some of y'all are talented. You're smart. You're good with kids. You got a personality. Lord, I've seen bus workers with no personality. Still, a bus worker with no personality is like a singer that can't sing. You know, hello, would you like to let your kids go to church with us? That's like somebody standing up here saying, if it satisfies you, Lord, then it satisfies me. It's awful. You say, but I tell you what, they're doing something. They're doing something. Some of y'all got personality and won't use it. Then I'll say one more thing. And let me say this about your marriage. Listen to me. Anybody can leave their husband or their wife and build a case against them. You can pick out the things that they've done wrong over the years and say, well, they're this. Therefore, I have a right to do what I want to do. And leave out the other 2,000 things they did good for you. I'm going to tell you, you want to answer to God for that kind of junk like that. Anybody can leave their wife when they got their eye on somebody else. And say, well, she done this and she done this and she cussed me one time and she done this. Yeah, I know. There's 10 things she done in 20 years or 30 years or 40 years or 10 years and there's 8 million things she done right. You just want an excuse to do what you want to. Same way about church. When a person wants to quit church, they'll start saying, well, the church's in this. Well, the church's in that. And there's people in the church. When I talked to a boy the other day. Over here in town in Morgan. I said, man, won't you come to church? He said, well, I used to go. He named a church up here on 64 that he used to go to. And I said, why'd you quit joining? He said, there's hypocrites all in that church. And I don't believe everybody in there is a hypocrite. I believe there probably are some hypocrites in there like everywhere else. You know what he's doing? He's making him up an excuse so he don't want to have to do what he wants and what he's supposed to do. Now, you know that's right. Listen. My mind's made up. I'm here by the help of God. It don't matter who says what, who does what. God's put me here. That's it. I'm here for the duration. I ain't looking for an excuse to get out. If you're looking for a reason to get out, you can find one. I could tonight. I could say, people in our church just don't support me. There's an empty pew where somebody ought to be. He ain't said amen the whole time I've been up here. I didn't hear you. Didn't do me no good. I can find something wrong with every one of y'all. Phyllis, you ain't shouted. Dot laid out. And she ain't watching by the internet, I know, so I can get away with that. I mean, and I can go home and say, man, nobody shouted tonight, but Jason, he raised his hand, and that's it. And I'm just going to resign. If that's what I'm wanting to do, I can find ways. I can figure out a way to blame it on you and make myself look all right. Amen? That's right. You're getting it. You're getting it. If you want to quit your job, you can find all kinds of things wrong with your boss, you pay to make it look like it's their fault so you can do what you want to do. That's right. My advice is just stick with your family, stick with your church, stick with your kids. My advice to all you that are with kids is train up a child in the way he should go. I'm going to tell all you, we got a lot of people in here that's got little kids, 2, 3, 4, and 5. The best advice I could give you is put it in them at home and take them kids and get them around where there's some old time worship and religion going on. Somebody here this morning, lady sitting back here this morning, has a little girl about that tall. She come out the door this morning and she said, Brother Danny, my daughter said she just loves it when you get all riled up. That high. See, these kids notice it. People say, well, I'll just get mad and I'll go to somebody. Listen, you raise your kids in a dead church, you'll pay for it one of these days. You'll wish to God they'd go and they won't. I'd get my kids, take them to revival somewhere when there's a good revival going on. Put these little DVD players in your car. Put some Christian music on. In the car, Mama! In the car, Daddy! Put some preaching and Christian music on in your car so they can hear it. If the Lord don't come, if the Lord don't come another 30 years, preaching and people shouting and stuff is just about going to be a thing of the past. The real thing. What we're going to do? You better brace yourself. I don't know what the tax jumps, the gas goes. I don't know what all that's going to happen. All I know is it ain't looking good, brother. It ain't looking good for our country. You know what? You know what it's like? Carrie said, somebody told her, and a lot of people said the same thing. It's like Israel back there when they said, give us a king, give us a king, give us a king. Finally, the Lord said, okay, that's what you want. Have at it. And I'm afraid America, we're going to get just exactly what we're asking for. Amen. Brace yourself. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer.